Okay. Well, God bless. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with everyone this morning. And we got a great, big, wonderful God, a God who loves us, cares for us, who truly wants to provide for all that we have and all that we need. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy with me. And we're going to go to chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, and I want to look at what is called the Shema. The Shema was a a word from the Lord that God gave to his people just before they went into the land, the promised land that was promised to them coming out of Egypt. It was a way of God communicating to his people all that he was going to do for them, all that he was going to provide for them. And it was something that he wanted them to realize, to remember, and to teach and share with their children and their children's children. So if you look with me in chapter 6, we'll start in verse 4, where the Lord God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit at your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be on the frontlets of your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Then, verse 10, it says, "It shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities, which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you did not fill, cisterns, which you did not dig, vineyards, olive trees, which you did not plant, and you will eat and be satisfied. Then watch that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear or reverence only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name." God promised to take care of his people when they came out of the land of Egypt, that they had to want for nothing. He promised them prosperity. He was going to put them in homes that they didn't build. And in these homes, there were going to be everything that they needed. He filled them with everything that they didn't fill. They had to want basically for nothing. Only thing they had to do was to reverence the Lord thy God and listen to him and follow him and follow his word. That was the only thing they had to do and not go astray from that promise. And yet God said that he would take care of them and watch over them. Verse 16, however, says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him in Manassas." In other words, don't try me. Don't come up against me and don't test me to see that if I really mean what I say or say what I mean. Well, to say the least, it didn't really go as well as it should have. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Because this is some time later, but God's people did not listen. They did not adhere to the provision that God had provided for them. They did not honor him as God, and they went astray. And this is sort of a foundational scripture that I remember from many years ago, and it was sort of something that I have been thinking about this week and how appropriate it was to the times that we live in. But if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, and it says in verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils, Jeremiah. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out for them cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Two things happened to the people of God, over a long period of time. It didn't happen overnight, but over a period of time. Number one, they forsake God. They forsook him. He says, you've forsaken me. They walked away from God as their true source of truth and righteousness. The second thing they did was they hewed out for themselves cisterns. A cistern is like a reservoir where you take water and you put it in a certain place for a little while. And if you need it, you go there and you get it. But you know what happens to a cistern after a while, or a reservoir, when there's no flow? The water becomes stagnant. It doesn't have that fresh, clean element to it that it has when it's constantly flowing. This is what began to happen to the children of Israel. They hewed out for themselves systems and cisterns of living. They took away from that which God had originally given them and sought after something on their own. They forsook God and they hewed out for themselves cisterns. The motivation here was to please self and not God. They walked away from God, they forsook him, and they tried and came up with systems of ways in which they wanted to interpret how God wanted them to live. And this was evil in the sight of God. They walked away. They chose to develop alternate lifestyles other than that which God had provided for them. And how far did they actually go? Well, let's take a look at some of this. When you walk away from the truth of God and you hew out for yourself a system that you think is better, look at chapter 4 with me for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 4. Again, in verse 22. For my people are foolish, Jeremiah. They know me not. They are foolish children. They have no understanding. They are shrewd to do evil. But to do good, they do not know. They had drifted so far away from God, who is the fountain, who is the source of everything that is true and righteous. They became foolish. They become people of no understanding. And they just did not know what to do. Look at verse chapter 6 for a moment. Chapter 6 of Jeremiah. How far did they go? What does it say in verse 10? To whom shall I speak, give warning, that they may hear, Jeremiah? Who am I going to speak to, Jeremiah, that's going to listen to me? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. They have so closed their heart and their mind toward the true God, they cannot listen. Behold, Jeremiah, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. They had gotten to the point where they had no delight in what God had to say. In fact, it says the word became a reproach. It was a discouragement to them. The truth became a discouragement for them because they had drifted so far away from the true God, from his righteousness, from his word. Look at chapter 7. I'll show you one more verse. And this whole chapter 7, if you ever get a chance to read it, you should. Gives you an idea how far, far away they went from the Lord. But in chapter 7, I want you to look with me in verse 16. As for you, Jeremiah, this is the Lord now talking to Jeremiah, the prophet, God's man. As for you, Jeremiah, do not pray for this people. Wow. Do not lift up a prayer or cry for them, Jeremiah. Do not come to me and intercede for them, Jeremiah, for I do not hear you. How far had they gone from the God who brought them out of slavery, put them in houses they didn't build, filled those homes with things they didn't fill, all those wonderful promises that he thought that he was going to do? How far did they go? Jeremiah, don't even pray for them. I don't hear them. I want you to go to the book of Romans for a second. Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul wrote about some of the people in his day and time. And in Romans chapter 1, How far do you have to go from the truth of God for God to say, don't even pray for you? Don't even pray for them, Jeremiah. They had so forsaken the true God who brought them out that God just wouldn't listen anymore. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21, Paul writes, and even though they knew God, just like they did back in Jeremiah's day, they knew God, but they didn't honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And because of this, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies were dishonored among themselves, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who was blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over twice to degrading passions. And it goes to all these horrific things they did. Verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, just like they did during Jeremiah's day, God gave them over to a depraved or reprobate mind to do the things which are not proper. In these verses, three times is emphasized, God gave them over. How far does a man or a woman have to go for God to give you over and say, go, get out of my sight. Don't even pray for them, Jeremiah. I'm not going to intercede for you. I don't even hear you. Has to be pretty bad for that to happen. And this is what happens when you forsake the fountain of living water and you hew out for yourself a system or a cistern that you think is going to be something that's going to honor God. And it goes so far away from him that it becomes a reprobate to him. Well, let's begin to turn things around a little bit here. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 4. God wants worship. He wants obedience. All he asks for is that you honor him, that you love him for who he is, the God of provision who'll fill your house with things you never filled. He'll take care of you on every hand. Those promises are still true today for you and I. And that God will begin to take care of you just as he took care of his people back in the old days. I'm going to let some more folks on here. Hold on a second. Gospel of John, chapter 4, please. We're going to read a record here that is not too unfamiliar. We're going to start in verse 7 about the woman of Samaria. There came a woman of Samaria to drink water. And Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For the disciples had gone away to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with us. And Jesus said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it was who said to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. Wow. Quite a statement. By the way, the gift of God is Jesus Christ. If you knew who the gift of God was, talking about himself, who says, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. And where is this living water you're talking about? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it? And his sons did, and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well, a water, springing up into eternal life. Jesus is describing to her, and she doesn't know it. She's thinking as a human. He is thinking as a spiritual man, as son's God, God's son. A well of water springing up into eternal life, the fountain of living water. We're talking about the fountain of living water here that those in the Old Testament forsook. Jesus said, who drinks of the water that I will give him will become in him a well springing up into eternal life. It's a great example there. Look at verse 37 of this same chapter. Keep your finger. Go to chapter 7. Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to be coming back here, but go for a moment with me to John chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 37. And in verse 7 of chapter, it says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Whoever believes in the words that Jesus has spoken to them, okay, will become in him a river springing from without. The water that Jesus Christ was talking about is the water of the fountain. God being the fountain, he is the source, the unending source of truth. He is the unending source of provision. Everything that you and I can ever need or ever hope to want stems from the fountain who is God. He is the fountain of living water. And in verse 14, go back there for a moment, 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, he shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I will not thirst, nor come at all the way to draw. And he said unto her, go call your husband. And the woman went, called her husband. And she said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have said correctly that you have none, for you have had five, and the one you have now is not your husband. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. For our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour has come when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Worship is to bow down, is to yield to, is to submit to. We are to yield and submit our lives to God. This is what the worship is talking about here. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, verse 23, when the true worshipers, those who truly yield to God and submit to him, will do this with the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We ought to worship, yield, and submit to God by way of the spirit and the truth, which is the word of God. As we worship and we honor God, and we live our lives according to what he has, we tap into this fountain of living waters which flow out of us. The word flows out of us. That who God is flows out of us. And we bring life to those who want it. But this is obviously a choice. This is something that we must choose to do. This is something that we, as God's people, choose to do. To tap into this fountain of living water by yielding, by worshiping by the Spirit and by the Word of God and deliverance and all that God has to offer his people becomes available. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 15. This is a choice. Worship is by choice, to tap into this fountain of living water and have it flow from our lives like the Lord said it would, is a choice. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 1, another familiar section of scripture. But Jesus is talking and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or he cleans so it can bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide, choice, in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. We must remain connected to the fountain of living water. God is the fountain. Jesus Christ is the connection that we have to the Father. And when we worship him in the spirit and in truth, and we choose to abide, the flow begins. The flow begins. And we begin to emulate everything that God wants emulated at that moment. I am the true vine, verse 5. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If, condition, anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If, condition, you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you wish, and it will be done for you. Why? That my Father is glorified by this, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciplined one, disciple. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in that love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Our joy is made full. Our connection is made full to the Father as we abide, as we stay connected to the fountain, as we stay too close to his heart, his word, his principles, so to speak. We must stay connected. It is a choice that we have. We stay connected to the fountain and the water flows. We don't hew out for ourselves alternate ways of doing things or alternate lifestyles. We stay connected to the true source, and that is what the Father desires. I want you to look in 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter. First, second, third John. Nope. Go back a couple of books. Second Peter chapter 1. Peter is talking here, and he says in verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales. We didn't make up a story, or we didn't make up an interpretation of what we had seen and heard when we made known to you the power of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They did not interpret something different than what they had seen and heard. They spoke the truth. For we received honor and glory from the Father. Such an utterance as this was made known to him by the majesty of glory, that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance from heaven when we heard him on the holy mountain. They could not deny what they had heard. They could not deny what they had seen. They spoke it as it was. They didn't hew out for themselves a system. They didn't try to interpret it any other way. They spoke the truth. They were connected. They did not deviate from that which they knew to be true. And that's the point. We didn't come up to you with cleverly devised tales, okay? Verse 19 says, for we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the morning star arises in your hearts. The prophetic word, a lamp that shines in a dark place, and the morning star all refer to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prophetic word. He is the light that shines in a dark place. And when that morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ, arises in your hearts, you become connected to the fountain of living water. And then your life will begin. Out of you will flow the rivers of that living water, that word, that spiritual connection that we have when we worship and we yield to God and we become submissive to Him. This is the flow that begins to take place, but it must arise in your heart. That's what Peter is saying. And how do we know when that is happening? Verse 20 gives us the answer. But know this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of anyone's private interpretation. It's not a cistern, a broken cistern that can hold no water. It is not an alternate way of interpreting God in your life, which today, we can go through a list, can't we? Everybody's interpreting the what they think God is, or who God is in their life, or even the God of self. It's to be of no private interpretation. In order for us to have the effect and to become salt and light in this earth, we must be connected to this fountain of living water and not hew out a system or a broken system that can hold no truth, hold no water. It's all irrelevant. Without connecting ourselves to the true God, worshiping Him, yielding to what He wants done, submitting to Him, abiding in them, just as the Lord abided in Him. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also. How does that happen? By staying connected, by tapping into the fountain of living water. And the way that you stay connected is understanding that the word of God is not of any private interpretation. It's not something that you think or that you can see happening in culture. It's what does the word say? We're to worship God in the spirit and in truth. In spirit connects us to the flow. The word keeps us in check. It's the word of God connected with that spiritual flow coming in and out of us that keeps us in the middle of that fountain of living water and not a broken system that can hold no water. That's this misleading that leads people astray. It's not about what we think. It's about what does the word say. Remember, my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have viewed out for themselves a system that can hold no water. I want to go to one more verse of scripture or section in Revelation. The message here is very simple this morning. Stay connected to the fountain. Stay connected to the fountain of living water. In Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. Blessed are those who wash their robes. A robe is something that you put on. A robe is something that you wear. Blessed are those who wash. What do you wash with? Water. Blessed are those who wash with water that which they put on in their life. To those, right, you're going to have access to the tree of life and enter by the gates into the city. Outside of that are dogs, scorners, immoral people, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You see it? Murderers, and everyone who loves and practices lying. There's the truth, and there's a lie. We have the truth. We have the fountain. We have access to this fountain of living water. And we have a choice, and we have the opportunity to bring this to others. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. Churches are people. I am the root, the descendant of David, the bright and morning star, which we read about before. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. We have the opportunity and the privilege of having the fountain of living water flow through our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the prophetic word of God. Jesus Christ made this available by his life. This is why he came. This is why he suffered. This is why he died, so that you and I can be connected to the fountain of living waters. This is true worship. This is how we worship the God that we love in spirit and in truth, which is his word. And we washed ourselves by the putting on of that word, by putting on the promises, by putting on the commandments, the statutes, everything that God has done for us, we can do, and we could share it with others because we have access to the fountain of living waters. So when you think about this week, when you go out, think about that living water that you have within you. It's a wellspring within you, springing up into eternal life. And we have the privilege of holding forth the word and holding forth that which God is to others, and break down those systems, those cisterns, those broken cisterns that hold no water. But we have to be honest, and we have to be upright and preach the word like John taught last week. Preach the word, hold it forth, and not be ashamed of this gospel. So that's basically what I wanted to share with you this morning. We are and have access to the fountain of living waters.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay.